Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. How's that? When I was a child, I listened to Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds all the time. My love of 60s music aside, I think I was drawn to the song because I knew that it came from Jewish tradition, and I felt proud that we had made such an indelible contribution to American culture. The source text, which comes from the book of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, lists the experiences of life that have an appointed season. And as I grew up, I thought I understood its meaning perfectly. We are born and we die. We find and we lose. We rend and we repair. In the language of the Talmud, pshita, it's simple. Life is a journey with many kinds of experiences that oppose and complement one another. It's not a difficult concept to understand, and it's a truth I think we can accept. But the deeper wisdom of this passage from Kohelet is not in its description, but the prescription we can uncover when we read between the lines. Before we do, you may be wondering why I'm talking about Kohelet on this particular occasion. After all, that's the book that we read on Sukkot. Now is the time to read Echa, the Book of Lamentations, the traditional text for Tisha B'Av, which we will observe tomorrow evening and on Sunday. Echa is a book of wailing, mourning, and lament, the ancient response to suffering. And it evokes great emotion when we read it, even or perhaps especially today. In a way, Echa is meant to instruct us in our own lament. So if Echa is such a fitting prescription for observing Tisha B'Av, why am I talking to you about Kohelet? Because Kohelet reminds us that there must be a balance in life. A time for planting and a time for uprooting. A time for tearing down and a time for building up. The point is not just to make sure that each necessary experience happens, but also to make sure that it doesn't happen too often. If we build and never tear down, we'll run out of space. If we only uproot and never plant, nothing will ever grow. Kohelet calls us to be mindful of each moment and discern when the right time is for each of life's necessary experiences. Et livkot ve'et lischok, there is a time for weeping and a time for laughing. Sometimes we are able to discern these boundaries for ourselves, and sometimes we are not. So our tradition gives us moadim, appointed times for certain experiences, emotions, and expressions. Tisha B'Av is our time to weep and mourn. The day exists for that purpose, to be a container for our grief. We dwell in the darkness on Tisha B'Av so that our lives are not suffused with darkness at all times. The Book of Kohelet and the customs of Tisha B'Av teach us that we must not mourn all the time. We collect all our misfortunes into this one day so that sadness, misery, fear, and distrust do not become part of every day and thus infect our psyches. Suffering is not an identity. It is a universal experience that all humans have at one point or another, and we as a Jewish people have certainly experienced great suffering. But suffering is not who we are. Of course, we are shaped by the things that happen to us, but our choices, our values, our visions, these are what form identity, both individual and communal. And in the stories we tell about ourselves as a Jewish people, we also have a choice. We create our own narrative. If that narrative focuses only on what has been done to us, the Jewish people will be perpetual victims with no vision of hope. But this stance is not authentic to our tradition. My teacher Yossi Klein Halevi points out that the only time we are commanded to exercise empathy in order to relive an experience is the exodus from Egypt. To this end, the Mishnah says, "Bechol dor vador, chayav adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim." In every generation, each person is obligated to see themselves as if they went out from Egypt. Went out from Egypt. We are called to frame our narrative not as victims, but as survivors. Not as a people enslaved, but as a people redeemed. But here too, I urge caution. Because even a narrative of survival, of triumph, of overcoming hardship and persecution risks centering our story outside of ourselves. I am not a Jew because of Egypt. I am not a Jew because of Amalek. I am not a Jew because of destructions or expulsions or pogroms or the Shoah. In fact, I am not a Jew because of anything. But I am a Jew for many things. I am a Jew for the Torah. I am a Jew for Tu Bishvat and Shavuot, for the poetry of Yehuda Halevi and Yehuda Amichai, for the land of Israel, for our sacred music, both ancient and modern. I am a Jew for the love of my people who have brought great gifts to the world, not in spite of what we have survived, but because of who we are and what we stand for. So I ask you, each of you, what are you a Jew for? I invite each of us, myself included, to think deeply about this question and search for what motivates us in our lives as Jews. After all, it is our textual and cultural DNA to challenge assumptions and reject orthodoxies, even, no, especially, our own. We find a beautiful example of this in Sefer Dvarim, Deuteronomy, the final book of the Torah that we begin reading this Shabbat. On the threshold of the Promised Land, Dvarim draws the wanderings of our people to a close as Moses stands before the people and recounts their story. But it seems to me that Dvarim is not served well by the Greek name Deuteronomy, which means second law. Dvarim is not mere repetition. In some ways, the book stands apart from the rest of the Torah with its own vision of morality, identity, and purpose. It presents Israel's stories of the previous books, not repeated, not rehashed, but reshaped. The details in Dvarim don't always align perfectly with the older so-called original versions of the story, but the differences are a choice, a representation of values. Take, for example, a passage in this week's parasha, which recounts an episode from the book of Numbers, in which a weary Moses laments his singular burden before God. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses says, "I cannot carry this people all by myself. It is too heavy for me." So God tells Moses to gather 70 elders to serve as officials for the people. Moses does so, and the narrative moves on. In this week's parasha, Dvarim, this exchange between God and Moses is recounted, and expanded. In this newer version, Moses addresses the leaders that he has just appointed and charges them with a moral responsibility. Hear out your fellow Israelites and decide justly between anyone and a fellow Israelite or a stranger. You shall not be partial in judgment. Hear out low and high alike. If we're looking for perfect consistency between these two accounts, we are bound to be sorely disappointed. But if we're looking for growth, self-determination, and building positive, internally motivated identity, we need look no further. If Moses had decided to wallow in his frustration with the Israelites, would he have been able to envision this new system of leadership? Or would our Torah have gone without this clarion call for equity and justice? When we spend too much time looking back at what we have lost, we close our inner eye to visions of what we may yet build. It's no coincidence that the rabbis named this Shabbat, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision. Even in our mourning, we plant seeds of hope. So let us observe Tisha B'Av. Let us take this opportunity to name our pain, to release our suffering. And the next day, let's start looking to the next sacred task on our calendar, to choose life that we may live and thrive. Kein yihi ratzon.